Hello and welcome to this new installment of the Beaver Dam. I'm Reed Mouse, joined along with my partners Tyler Avila and Gino Spadaro. We got an interesting week. Football teams coming off a bye. A lot of good things happen around this world of Beaver sports. A lot of bad things actually happen around this world of Beaver sports. We're going to start off with football. They're coming off a bye this past weekend. They're going into homecoming against Anderson. And the biggest question on people's mind is Brandon Koch. Colby Spiess is out for the season with a torn ACL and meniscus, and Brandon Koch is going to be the new starter. The question that I have had on my mind is, how is Brandon Koch going to settle up in his first start at the quarterback role? Are they going to limit his playbook, Gino?
Well, we talked about it yesterday in the team meeting. Coach Dorrell has the utmost confidence in Brandon Koch. He told us that he believes Brandon Koch is going to lead us to, you know, a lot of wins this season, and I agree with him. He said Brandon Koch is very capable of running the offense to the same capability of Colby Spiess. They're two different quarterbacks. Colby, you know, is the guy probably with the better arm, but Brandon Koch, you know, has great decision making. He's very accurate. He's also, you know, very useful in the run game as well when it comes to our offense. And as a defense, our job is now, you know, when you got a new quarterback in there like that, we got to do our very best to keep the pressure off of Brandon Koch. We can do that by just continually getting stops and just, you know, getting the other team's offense off the field and, you know, giving Brandon some confidence. And if we can do that, you know, with the receivers he's got and the running backs he's got, I think we'll have no problem with him back there.
Brandon Koch, as we mentioned, as we keep talking about, is going to be starting. What kind of problems, what we might see with a fresh quarterback that hasn't had any starting time? Like, what kind of mistakes are we going to might be adapt to seeing?
You know, I think if you have a new quarterback back there, someone who hasn't had a lot of experience or anything like that, you might see, you know, some missed timing on throws with receivers. Maybe he hasn't developed the chemistry that Colby had with the starters. I know Brandon, even when Colby was healthy, would still take reps with the first team every now and then, which is completely normal. But I think you might just see some timing errors, you know, just things of that nature, just a lot of very little correctable stuff, just some growing pains that you'll see. Maybe holding on to the ball a little bit too long and stuff like that. Nothing that he won't be able to fix moving forward.
Now, you're not an offensive player. You're a defensive player. You've talked again about how you're not in the meetings with the offense and right. That you can't speak fully for the offense. So going into Anderson this weekend, what kind of things are we going to see from Anderson's offense? How are you guys going to try and stop this team? I know nothing about Anderson.
Anderson's a very young team on the offensive side of the ball. They start a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And, you know, I think what we'll see from them is, you know, they like to spread the ball out a little bit. They like to throw more than, you know, a typical team that we would see. You know, like I said, they're very young. And when you play a team like Anderson, you know, a team that's really starting to try to figure out their identity still, you know, they might come out in, you know, some different formations that we haven't seen on film yet. But, you know, we'll be prepared for anything. You know, they do have some good receivers. And, you know, they've shown glimpses on film of being pretty solid. And so, you know, we're just going to go in there and play our game on defense. And, you know, I think we should be okay.
Well, that's the homecoming game, and that game will take place 1:30 this Saturday at Dwight Salzman Stadium and Alumni Field. In order to keep our weekly format fresh, we're going to mix something up. We're actually going to play some music, so feel free to listen to. This is our first song, Believer by Imagine Dragons.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I can be. I'm the one at the sail, I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh. I was broken from a young age, taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
Hey, you made me a believer, believer. has turned your spirit to a dove. Oh, ooh, your spirit up above. Oh, ooh. I was choking in the crowd, building my brain up in the cloud, falling like ashes to the ground, hoping my feelings, they would drown. But they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke open and rained down. It rained down like... flames, you're the face of the future, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, the blood in my veins, oh, ooh, but they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke open and rained down, it rained down like...
And we're back to the Beaver Dam. Moving on to women's soccer, we're actually able to sit down with senior leader on the team, Brittany Huff. And it was quite the interesting interview.
It was a very interesting interview. She elaborated on a lot of interesting things, and this is what she had to say. Your last couple of games have been pretty close. How has the team improved from the beginning of the season to now?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I don't think we had as much offense. We were focusing a lot on defense, and you could kind of see it in the games and the scores that we had. But I think as we've gone on through the season, we started getting more offensively, and that showed especially this past game on Saturday. We had the most offense we've had all year.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we sat down with Lauren Foster Wheeler, who is a sophomore on the team. That was right after you ladies got your first win in almost two seasons. Being a senior, what does it mean to you finally getting that win after a long drought?
It means a lot, actually, because we've been through a lot through the past few seasons, and so going through all that hard work, it's nice to actually see it pay off, because it's been very hard the past few seasons, so it's really nice to see that for sure.
Right, you said you guys went through a pretty tough couple of seasons, last season especially, having a lot of injuries and having to forfeit a lot of games. How has, from last season to this season, really changed your perspective on this team?
It's really changed it in the fact that you can see the hard work. People have to want to be here to be a part of this program, because obviously we didn't have a lot last year, and many of people could have left even during that time. And so you have to want to be a part of this, and that shows for our program that people are willing to be hardworking and willing to be a part of something that may be tough, but it's worth it in the after.
Now back to the win. How does that help the freshmen this year and the sophomores? How does that help them for the years to come?
I think they see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, because when they came in, we didn't have a lot of wins. We actually didn't win last year, and it was due to a rough season. And so seeing that what our hard work pays off in the end, I think that it shows them, okay, we can do this, and we are willing to put in the work, and something will come out of it. It's not just that we're putting the work for nothing.
So how has being a senior captain changed your perspective on this season?
It's different because I was captain last year being a junior, but being a senior, this is kind of my last year. And so it's like, oh, well, this is it, really. And so it's kind of changed in the aspect of, okay, this is all I got. And so I think that's what's really changed it, is that I'm like, okay, this is my last season. I want to be here for them as much as they are there for me.
So what are your ladies' hopes for the rest of the season moving forward?
Our hope is to just keep playing as a team and stay playing together, not for just oneself. And obviously to win, that would be nice.
Right.
But just keep putting in every effort and competing every game. and not just picking and choosing games.
So next year for the team, they are losing you, like we've said, and Caitlin Gardella. How do you think this will affect the team moving forward as well?
As much as we both are starters and both are playing majority of the games, I think that as long as they keep playing together, I think they will be fine. As much as we are an influence on the team, I think that we being there for them through the years, and also majority of our team is returning. So I think that's going to help them a lot.
So too. Bluffton this weekend lost to Earlham in a nail-biter of a game. It was 2-1, and this girls' team is currently 1-8, and they just lost their first game in the HGAC. So they're 0-1, but the one goal came off of a free kick nailed by Brittany Huff at the 85-46 mark. Fantastic kick. The last two games for this team have been just so close. They lost 1-0 to Heidelberg from up there in Tiffin, and then went over to Richmond, Indiana to play Earlham and lost 2-1, and it was quite the close game. They're right there. They're so close to getting these wins and just building on this team and the success that they have. Just so close.
Yeah, they have really improved from the beginning of the season when they've been just getting blown out 8-0, 5-0. They have played really well, and they're playing as a team, which helps. And Behuff elaborated on that. She said, from the beginning of the season to now, they've really came closer as a team to really help them communicate well on the field and off and just play better.
Yeah, they look for the game this Saturday. They're going to be going to Franklin, playing the Franklin Grizzlies. That game is at 5 p.m., so we wish the soccer team the best of luck. Moving on to men's soccer, they actually had one of their closest games of the year this far. They lost 3-1 to Earlham, and Blake Hirschberger was able to put it in on a PK kick with less than 8 minutes to play against Earlham. But Earlham, unfortunately, the Quakers held on to a 3-1 victory. This team is still looking for that first win, but they just got to keep building. They got to keep working. They go to Franklin Grizzlies as well. Their game starts at 7:30, right after the women's game. So if you're in Indiana, make sure to check out those games. We're going to take a short break. Here we're going to play Feel It Still by Portugal the Man. Remember, you're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
To keep my hands on myself. Might have had your fill, but I feel it still.
back here on 96.1 The Wit. We're the Beaver Dam. Moving on to cross country, I'm going to let Tyler reveal it because he's got much further knowledge about cross country than I do.
Gino and I sat down with Chris Lyons, and this is what he had to say.
How was this injury affected or impacted your mindset as an athlete? You know, like athletes, you know, deal right. with adversity a lot. So,
At first, it was kind of devastating. Losing your senior year is kind of always rough, but if anything, it's made me more determined to get back. Looking forward to get back for indoor track and outdoor track, and not just pick off where I left off with, but be better than what I was last year. So definitely, it's led me more determined than anything.
You know, you kind of hit on it a little bit moving forward into, you know, indoor and outdoor. But as of right now, you know, what's your role going to be on the team moving forward since you are out for the season?
Right. So I've been mainly as a coach, and I mean, I am captain for the team, but my role has shifted to a coach for the cross season, kind of just being on the guys, making sure they're getting everything done right, just kind of motivating them. And since I'm not there, just trying to be a strong influence for them. And then once they get back for indoor, that role changes, but now I'm also racing with them and training with them.
Yep.
So I'm not so much coaching, but more being an athlete by then.
You think it can kind of benefit you from like a leadership standpoint a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot more responsibility now that I'm kind of off the sideline and kind of see it from a coach's perspective. And I'm just more of a – and my role as a leader is now influence and is higher than what it was before.
Yep. What's your viewpoint of the team right now? You know, like, what are some bright spots? What are some areas that need improvement?
Right. So our top three are pretty good bright spots. Dakota's having a very good season so far. And Jonah and Connor, they've kind of been going back and forth. They've been good. Wyatt has been a transfer we got this year who's been he's ran better than we thought he was going to. The only downside is that we don't have a very solid – towards the back end of our team is kind of still iffy and up in the air. We're hoping Mike can get back into running the way he can run. He ran a couple years ago. Other than that, I mean, losing me was a kind of, I mean, not trying to brag, but it was kind of a huge influence. But I still think they can do what we're hoping to accomplish still.
How has Dakota really stepped up his game? Because losing you, like you said, is a big part in this cross-country team. Because you were the main guy, you were the number one runner heading into the season. How has he really stepped up into that number one runner role?
Right. He's taken a lot of responsibility for it. He doesn't mess around when it comes to training, and he's kind of established that he is the number one guy, and he's training like he is a number one, which is how he needs to train. It kind of hurts him a little bit because I'm not there, that he has somebody to work off with. He's pretty much working on his own and occasionally with Jonah on certain interval workouts, but he's taken that role quite nicely in terms of being by himself, basically.
Are you looking forward – sorry to cut you off. Are you looking forward to competing with him once you get back out?
Oh, absolutely. He pushes me to my limits, and I push him to his limits, so.
This men's team is still looking for someone to fill the role that Chris Lyons had. He was going to be their most outstanding runner this year. There's a lot of expectations, but he got early on in the season, and they're still like in this limbo trying to figure out how they're going to have this great season without Chris. And you got to be able to sit down with Chris and elaborate on that interview a little bit.
Yeah, he also brought that up, saying that seeing Dakota Frost take that number one spot is making him want to come back. And he is set to come back for indoor and outdoor track, and he's really looking forward to that competition. The men's team finished 14th out of 17 teams. Dakota Frost was the first runner to cross the finish line for the men's team, placing 54th with a time of 27:30 in the field of 323 runners. His year of maturity and work was evident in an improved time from last year's outing. Junior Jonah Eckert rose to the occasion to reclaim his more accustomed second position, finishing in 70th with a time of 27:53. Junior Wyatt Baer continues to impress as he finished in 93rd place with a time of 28:51. Jacob Hill and Michael Lehman completed the varsity scoring positions, finishing 108th and 109th respectively. Hill ran a 29:50 and Lehman finished with a 29:53. Leading the way for the women was sophomore Alexis Cash, placing 31st out of 343 runners. She also ended up with a new PR in the 6,000 meter with a time of 23:49. Following closely were the duo of junior Jenny Madsen. She placed 52nd and ran a time of 24:28, and freshman Kimmy Hetrick. She finished 75th and ran a time of 24:59, just 31 seconds apart.
31st out of 343, that's coming in the top 10% of these runners this weekend. They had three runners in the top 100. A fantastic weekend. What can you say about Alexis Cash? Her own personal record, I mean, 23 minutes, 40, 49 seconds, 31st out of 341. Fantastic week.
That's a great week for the top three women on this team. They are running really well and looking to continue. Completing the scoring five were senior Alyssa Hawk, finishing 86th with a time of 25:28, and sophomore Ari Cox, who came across the line at 103 with a time of 26:05.
Well, the Beavers travel to Oberlin College on October 14th to compete in the Interregional Rumble, and it's another large-scale meet with teams throughout the Great Lakes region and beyond in attendance. We're going to take a short break. Here we're going to play The Man by The Killers and Suit and Jacket by Judah and the Line. You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Teach me, got nothing to learn. some of us just roaming, some of us just hoping the world will move more slowly, and some of us alive, we're all gonna die one day. Yeah, some of us surviving, some of us just roaming, some of us just hoping the world will move more slowly, and some of us alive, we're all gonna die one day. Yeah, some of us surviving, some of us just roaming, some of us just hoping the world will move more slowly.
Moving on to women's golf, there's an interesting development as the team, which originally started out with four members on the team, just checking their roster, is only down to two members, Mercedes Burns and Taylor Remy. Now, you have to understand that in women's golf, you need four members on the team to compete in team scoring. So with only two members on the team, they could only compete in individual scoring. And Mercedes Burns was actually the only member on the team that competed last week. And Mercedes Burns shot 50 over par on the first day. Par was 72, so she shot a 122. She had a better day. She shot 117 to finish out on the second day. And she actually finished 34th out of 39th. They both play at Defiance this weekend. So we wish the women's golf team the best of luck. Moving on to volleyball, this volleyball team is about right where Coach Yarnell was actually expecting. You talk to them, they're right at 500, and honestly, these past few years, their regular season hasn't been what has made them so good. It's how well they play in the playoffs. It's how well they play at the end of the year, and we actually got to sit down and talk to them about how the season is going.
You guys got swept by Hanover over the weekend, your rivals, but it seems like every set was really close, and it seems like the final set total and score didn't really reflect how competitive the game actually was.
Yeah, you know, we battled with them. We were down 3 or 4 points in the first set. We didn't fold and came back, and next thing we went on a run of our own, and we traded big runs of points, and so we were right there. We didn't capitalize, you know, at the very end of the set, and, you know, I think that shows some of our youth. You know, some of our younger players were put in positions where we needed that one play and we just couldn't get it. You know, the second set, they ran out of subs. We were leading late 20-17. They went on a run of their own and you know, got a middle hitter playing back row, and you know, we tried to serve her and missed the target, and Libro passes it, and next later in that rally, communication ball between two people, and neither was willing to say uncle. And then, you know, the last play of that set, you know, they have a short setter in the front row. She drops off to pass or to play defense, which means they're only going to have one blocker on the pin. And we didn't recognize that, and we hit a ball deep and don't force them to play it. And so, like, three kind of successive, kind of mental. Mistakes right at the end of the set, and you know, in the third set it's 7-all, and then they went on a 10-0 run to where kind of the wheels fell off after we were that close. So, you know, our girls are frustrated with the result, but based upon how competitive that team is, and that we're right there with them with this year's squad, I think that's a positive.
Yeah, you guys are 9-9.
Yeah, 500.
Yeah, 500. Is that where you guys were? Think you were going to be this into the season this far? Or?
You know, with the schedule we put together, you know, the only one loss that I'm kind of disappointed is the Capital loss from a weekend ago. The other ones traditionally, you know, when you look at Hanover, we haven't beaten Hanover in the regular season since 2010. So it's, you know, we're 0-7 now since then. The other flip side of it is we're like 5-0 when tournament time comes around against them. You know, Northern, we've only beaten them a handful of times since I've been here, so that's not out of the ordinary. Heidelberg, That's one that could go either way if we play a little bit better. And Thomas More, we've only beaten them a couple times. And school-wise, I'm not sure the team's ever... The school, at least in the past 20 years, has beaten Wittenberg, who's number one in the country. So, you know, our other losses, I think, are quality losses outside of that Capital One. That one stings a little bit. So, you know, whether we're 10-7 or 10-8 or 9-9, it's not a huge difference there.
So you're about midway through the season. What stuff that you guys are still working on and moving forward?
Out-of-system attacking. You know, Hanover's coach said, you know, when they watched game film of us, they said, well, Bluffton's going to give us 5 points a set just on errors, their own errors. And so we did better. We gave them 7 points a set. So we helped them out a little more. So we have to get better when the ball's, you know, maybe not set right there or we're in a compromised position. That we've still got to keep the ball within the lines on the other side of the net, make smart plays. And we had 4 or 5 times, you know, over the weekend where two players are converging and neither one's willing to say uncle. And they both play it. And a few of them go over the net and a few of them didn't make it over the net and we lost the point. And so communication's always key, being efficient. I think those are the couple things that, we can still improve on and get better.
Bethany Martinez actually been playing outstanding and had 9 more kills over the weekend. Has she exceeded expectations as far into the season? Or
I thought she had a really good year last year. She was just overshadowed by McFarland and Weisgarber. So, you know, if you look at our graduating class over the past 2 years, 4 of the best hitters that have ever walked through these schools' doors have graduated. And so, you know, if you did the math, it's like 85 or higher percent of our offense over the past, you know, few years, you know, due to graduation. So she's carrying the load. I'm happy that her body's holding up as well as it has to this. She may have more attacks than anybody in the league. I think it's over 700 to this point in the season. So she's going to get over 1,000 swings on the year easily, and we need her to stay healthy, that's for sure.
So, final question. You guys play Mount St. Joe's and Rose home and away. What have you guys been doing to prepare for those?
Watching game film on Mount today, they've got some size. They're the top blocking team in the conference. And they're pretty smart. They're doing things with smoke and mirrors and tipping and not a super big power team, but they're making you make plays. So that makes me a little anxious. That's the area right now. Picking up tips and hitting with efficiency. Those are the things we got to keep working on. Rose might be the biggest and most talented size wise team. Maybe even more so than Hanover. Their interim coach now is one of my former players, Heather Shear. So she's a Beaver, and her husband's the defensive coordinator at Rose, and it's homecoming. So. The match time is pushed back till after the football game, and if I'm a betting man, she's going to have her husband get the football guys there to give them an extra boost. So, school history-wise, I'm not sure we've ever lost a Rose in the regular season, but their 2 wins have come in tournament play over the years against us.
One thing that Coach Yarnell really spoke about that really hit me hard is out of the 8 losses that they've had, out of the 9 losses that they've had, there's only one that really hurts them, and that's the loss to Capital. Every other loss that they've had has been against fantastic teams, has been close-fought battles. Just take this game this past weekend where they lost to Hanover. They got swept, but every single set was 25-23, 26-24. The only one that wasn't close was the third one, and that was actually after Hanover had a 10-0 scoring run to make it 17-7.
The one thing that he did mention about the Hanover game is that they have not beat them in the regular season. The only times that they have beat them was postseason time, and that's honestly where it counts. Yeah, it hurts to lose to a rival in the regular season because it goes against your conference record, but beating them in the conference games, it's really outstanding.
So this team hasn't actually beat Hanover since 2010, but the thing is the last 5 games in the playoffs, Hanover hasn't been able to beat Bluffton. And like you said, that's where it matters. The people who have really been standing out on this team is Bethany Martini. We talked to Coach and he said he thinks about 80% of this team's scoring over the past 5 years has graduated. And Bethany Martini had a fantastic season last year, but she's continuing to step up in that bigger role. He said she's going to get over 700 hits. She had 9 more kills just this past weekend. She's been player of the week in the conference for the previous 2 weeks, and getting 9 more kills this weekend, she's geared up for a fantastic rest of the season and fantastic career here for the Beavers.
Well, you know, one thing that you guys both just said right there is that, you know, it sounds like Coach Yarnell and this volleyball team, you know, they're gearing up for, you know, a late run in the season. And, you know, it's completely understandable. As a team, you don't really necessarily want to hit your stride, you know, in the very beginning of the season, because you don't want to be playing at your very best, you know, right away, because once you're doing that, it's kind of hard, you know, to continue it for, you know, the duration of a whole season. And so what you really want to do is you really want to just keep building, keep building, keep building. And then once you get, you know, to about like halfway or the three-quarter mark of the season, that's when you really want to start hitting your stride, because then come the conference tournament and stuff like that, you're playing at your best. And, you know, we've seen with this volleyball team, when they're playing at their best, you know, they're a pretty hard team to beat.
You were talking about how they need to keep building and building. Well, this team is a young team. They don't have a whole lot of experience. And one thing that Coach said is that each set, they're going to give the other team 5 points. That's just off mistakes of not keeping it between the lines, bad serves. Just they're going to give a team 5 points off their own mistakes. Now, I challenge this team to get better at that. If they want to win this conference for a fifth time in a row, they've got to limit those points to the smallest margin possible, and they've got to win the rest of these games and really start building for this conference tournament. And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Reed Mouse, joined along here with Gino Spadaro and Tyler Avila, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT. Roll Beeve.